This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone. While the Obama administration is busy rebranding America in the Arab world, a new group of young Arab media stars is working to alter the world's view of Islam. They're sometimes called satellite sheikhs, since their shows are beamed across the region on satellite channels. They're preaching a moderate version of Islam and producing shows that speak to the everyday lives of young people in the Arab world with Western production values. The number of Arab satellite channels devoted to religion has grown from 1 to over 30 in the past 10 years, leaving plenty of room for the big tent teachings of these younger, hipper preachers. Robert Wirth, Middle East correspondent for The New York Times, profiled one of the most popular of these so-called satellite sheikhs, Ahmed al-Shaghari. Wirth says Shaghari's success stems from his talent for relating Islam to the real world.
You know, he'll quote a Quranic passage and say, you know, it's against Islam to waste and not to care for the poor. And then he'll go to some wealthy neighborhood in Jeddah where he lives and show huge amounts of food being tossed into a dumpster or something like that. And then he'll show images of people starving. You know, that's just one example. He'll also talk about incredibly mundane things, which actually I think is one of the wonderful things about his show. So, for instance, he'll talk about sort of the way people park their cars. And he'll say, you know, there's a careless way to do this. And a lot of what he's doing is really sort of basic civics. He's saying, you know, be a responsible person. But he's talking about that in an Islamic language.
What are some of his novel production techniques?
They're a kind of cinema verite type film techniques. Sometimes he's wearing jeans and a t-shirt, but I mean, he looks like an American program in some ways. So he does sort of candid camera type stuff. You know, he'll, for instance, they had in one of the shows, they had, I think it was a man who pretends to accidentally drop a wallet so that you test the reactions of these people. Will they give the wallet back to the old man who dropped it, or will they just take it? So if the guy tries to just take it, they quickly stop him and say, excuse me, that wallet belongs to that guy. But then they say, why didn't you give it back to them? Is that the kind of thing that the Prophet Muhammad would have done?
Kind of like a religious sting, isn't it?
Exactly.
You've written that Shaghari and the other satellite sheikhs are getting criticism from both sides. On the right, hardline critics say that he's too Western. Secularists on the left say he could be something like a gateway drug to more extremist Islam?
Sure. Many of the people to whom he's appealing are young, relatively well-off people who would go to college and might adopt a more or less secular worldview, but he's essentially Islamizing them. Now, many of them, of course, if they follow his instructions strictly, they would become moderate Muslims open to the world just the way he is. But there are also people who fear that, not because of him, but because of the trend toward extremism across the Arab world, toward Islamism in general, that he may end up becoming a stepping stone. In other words, that once you've adopted a more Islamic way of life, you then become vulnerable to extremists who say, hey, you know, you're on the right path, but you haven't gone far enough yet.
You know, Robert, you know the region and I don't, but I just think that notion of the secularists doesn't make any sense. You think you can box people off from Islam by keeping a moderate sheikh or all of them off the air?
I think you have a point that if you try to sort of appeal to these people with a totally secular point of view, you're probably not going to do very well because it's too late for that. The region has gone through a tremendous religious revival in recent decades, and you got to meet people halfway, and that's where he is.
Do you think that people like Ahmed al-Shaghari can make a difference?
Sure, absolutely. I've talked to a lot of people who watch his show and admire him, who seem to feel that they were faced with a very difficult choice. They felt the world seemed to be divided for them into sort of a really secular path where they felt a bit like they were abandoning their culture and their traditions, or a really hardline, tough Islamist, I hate the West kind of stance. And what they like about him is that he gives them a middle path.
Robert, thank you very much.
Pleasure to be with you.
Robert Wirth is Middle East correspondent for The New York Times. We reached Shaghari in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. The 35-year-old Muslim televangelist told us that he became extremely religious during a 7-year stay in California after, shall we say, a hyper-secular period. He says his message of moderation grew out of the two extremes he lived while in the U.S.
you know, a pleasure-based life, zero spirituality, just living day by day and having fun. And then when I switched to the total opposite, meaning I just cared about spirituality and religion, and I guess the balance is what I believe I reached. Of course, everyone thinks he's balanced at the end of the day. Even extremists describe themselves as being balanced. But I believe now I'm in a balance where religion helps me be a better manager, a better husband, a better student.
When you were in the States, at the time that you decided to become much more religious, you were also watching a lot of television. Can you tell me what the American media taught you, if anything, about what you're doing now?
Yeah, that education, if it's going to be portrayed in media, it has to come within an entertaining format.
How does that play out in the programs that you've done?
It plays out, first of all, to have a short program, because we're talking to an MTV generation. They're used to video clips that end in 5 minutes. I think I heard it, or I read it in one of the American books, that they have the strategy of not focusing more than 20 or 30 seconds on the same frame or something like that. And I'm using that. We don't focus on anything more than 30 seconds. Secondly, it's not just a person talking to camera and preaching. We're using, in a lot of the programs, the candid camera format, which is an American format, to show certain morals. So it's a back and forth, kind of fast pace, 10-minute short, right to the point, no lecture-y attitude.
Tell me what the message is.
The message is live a balanced life. The same message as what Plato, Aristotle, all the philosophers, the prophets said, be good in this life, never hurt anyone, and perfect your work. And eventually this will come back to you as good on earth and after death. There's also one very important topic I always cover, which is respecting other religions and other cultures and opening dialogue with them and not having me versus the world mentality. I mean, I'm not coming up with something new. It's just I'm packaging it in a way that the youth can accept and understand.
Do you think that there's something missing in the spiritual media diet for young people there, that it's hard for them to relate their religion to the reality of their own lives?
Yes, because some shows that are available are put in a, let me say, boring monologue, one-hour guy talking way. It doesn't capture what they're seeing in other kinds of shows. They're watching American Idol, they're watching Oprah, they're watching all kinds of shows that are just attracting their emotions, and the other programs are not delivering that. So I'm trying to cover that gap. I'm trying to give them something where they can watch and have fun.
You have been referred to in news reports as one of the satellite sheikhs. What do you think of that term?
First of all, I'm not a sheikh. Sheikh is an Arab word that means like a rabbi, a priest. And I always say in my programs that I'm not a scholar and I'm not a sheikh. I'm not a priest. I'm just a simple human being who has hopes for the Arab and Islamic world to improve in all levels, economically, financially, socially. Now, that doesn't necessarily make me a sheikh. It's just a person speaking his mind out.
Do you have to tiptoe around certain issues so as not to upset the authorities or the executives at the satellite channels that broadcast your show?
I don't mention names when I tackle any topic. I do not mention a country, and I don't mention a certain government, and I do not mention names. Therefore, I can get by talking about some taboo topics. So until now, it's been okay. So pray for me at last.
How are you dealing with the fame?
Yeah, dealing with the fame. I'm reading a lot of books on psychology, on how to deal with the fame. I'm not going to deny that I enjoy it. It's a human nature to enjoy acknowledgement and appreciation. However, I'm trying to not make it get to me to the extent that I get used to such a life. Because, you know, things are easy for you. They give you discounts somewhere. If there's no reservation in a restaurant, they let you in. You know, these kind of things. People come up to you and they want pictures. So I'm just trying to enjoy it and not let it get to me.
What show are you working on now?
We're doing the fifth season of the show Khawatir, Reflections, which will air in Ramadan. And interestingly, this season, it will be all from Japan. So we have 30 episodes about the Japanese culture, the Japanese morals and manners, and the Japanese work ethics, and I'm just aiming at showing the Arab world how they are implementing a lot of the things that we're just preaching. For example, we preach in our schools that cleanliness is a major part of the believer. However, you see the streets in the Arab world, a lot of it, it's just a mess because we're not practicing this virtue of cleanliness. I'm showing the Arab world how the Japanese were able to have extremely clean streets and how they are implementing these morals.
You're talking about how these moral prescriptions offered by the Prophet are being carried out in an entirely non-Islamic environment.
Yes, these commandments are universal. So you don't have to believe in Prophet Muhammad to be clean. I'm just trying to make the Arab world feel jealous from the Japanese streets. I mean, I asked the Arab world, if the Prophet Muhammad came today, who will he see implementing his teachings more, the Japanese or the Muslim world? A big question mark. And I say that, by the way, also about the U.S. Most of the prophetic teachings are practiced in the U.S. much more than they are in the Islamic world. Our problem is we focus on two major things, and we just shove everything else aside. We focus on alcohol and sexual issues. So we see the U.S., they're open in these two arenas, so we say we're better than them because we don't have those. However, we forget that these are 2 out of 100. Barack Obama's presidency is a great implementation of a human virtue that Prophet Muhammad and Jesus before him promoted, which is all humans are created equal. When you see an African-American leading the most powerful country in the world out of election, not out of force, and it cannot be implemented anywhere else in the world, anywhere else, this needs to be acknowledged.
Ahmed, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Ahmed Al-Shigari is the host of the program Huwater, produced in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, and available on satellite throughout the region.